Now we want to continue this conversation about education in the U.S. with a look at two stories involving teacher pay. In Florida, Governor Charlie Crist has until tomorrow, Friday, to sign or veto a bill that would eliminate tenure for teachers throughout the state and tie their pay to student test scores. And here in the nation's capital, controversial D.C. school chancellor Michelle Rhee found herself in hot water again this week after she disclosed a $34 million surplus in the school budget. That was a discovery made back in February, just months after firing 266 teachers because of what she said at the time was a budget shortfall. Here to tell us more are Kathleen McGrory, who covers education for the Miami Herald, and Rick Hess, the resident scholar and director of education policy studies at the American Enterprise Institute for Public Policy. That's a conservative think tank. He's here with me in our D.C. studio. Welcome to you both. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be with you today.
Thanks for having me.
Kathleen, I'll start with you. Earlier this week, teachers throughout Miami-Dade County took part in a sick-out. How many people participated in this, and what message were they trying to send?
Well, the Miami-Dade School District has about 21,000 teachers, and about 6,000 of them took part in this sick-out. Sick-out might not be the best word for it. A lot of them did take personal days. In the state of Florida, teachers are not allowed to go on strike. But they were attempting to send a message to the governor. And I think they did, and that was that they are really not happy with this legislation.
How much support is there for the legislation among the political establishment and parents, for that matter, voters, for that matter?
Yeah, it really depends on who you ask. This is legislation that's backed very strongly by state Republicans, but teachers throughout the state have come, you know, are up in arms against it. And parents as well. We've seen a lot of parents and a lot of students join in these protests. Students throughout the district, throughout the Miami-Dade district, have been organizing demonstrations and walkouts throughout the week.
Rick, let's bring you into the conversation. You wrote about Florida in your blog, Straight Up, for the education periodical Education Week. You wrote that that Charlie Crist, already desperately trying to claw his way back into the Senate GOP primary that he once dominated, has found himself in the middle of another maelstrom. Sitting on his desk, awaiting his signature veto, is the most ambitious teacher-quality legislation any state has yet contemplated. So Florida's not the first state to propose linking teacher pay to student performance. What makes this proposal the most ambitious?
Sure. It's really two things in particular. One, every state in the union has some form of teacher tenure, where teachers teach typically between 2 and 4 years, and a couple states it's now as long as 6, before they receive essentially, for all intents and purposes, lifelong job security, where it becomes very difficult to remove them for performance. Florida's legislation would wipe out tenure. All new teachers would start to teach on 5 one-year performance contracts, and both new teachers and current teachers, their job security would essentially be dependent on them receiving satisfactory ratings. Second is what the Florida legislation would do is it would move teachers off of a compensation schedule where raises over time are basically determined by years of experience and by advanced credits and courses and degrees, and shift them to a schedule where teacher raises were primarily determined by student performance.
So in essence, it would make them closer to private schools where teachers typically work on 1 year contracts.
That's right.
And what's the argument in favor of the bill from an educational perspective?
Sure. From an educational perspective, and just to be straight with your listeners, I am generally supportive of this bill. What it would do is it would take teaching from an industrial era profession where the presumption is you can't distinguish one teacher from another, that teachers are interchangeable, that like any other factory worker, they should be paid on how long they've done the work, and that they should have high levels of job security. And it would try to shift them towards a more professional model with the notion that teachers, in fact, are very tremendously in quality, and we want to be much more purposeful about weeding out those who aren't as effective with the kids and rewarding those who do a great job.
And Kathleen, I'm not making you an advocate in any direction. I'm just asking you to from your reporting perspective, what's the argument against the bill?
Sure. What the teachers have been saying is that the legislation doesn't take into account the fact that children aren't widgets. That's to say that they learn at different paces. They come to school with different things on their minds. Some come from families that are dealing with poverty or, you know, families where their parents are working and there's nobody there to encourage them to do their homework. So that this really wouldn't be a fair way of compensating teachers.
And how is this tying into the political battle down there that I mentioned earlier? Charlie Crist, who was once a very popular figure in the state, and now in a real dogfight for the Senate nomination, battling against a candidate who's become kind of a favorite of the conservative movement activists. Mark, is this perceived to be sort of part of the larger electoral battle down there?
Oh, absolutely. As I said earlier, the bill has really strong support from Republicans. And our governor, who was elected as a Republican, is running for the Senate seat. He's being challenged by another Republican. It's a former Speaker of the House, Marco Rubio. And right now in the polls for this primary, you know, Rubio is by all accounts ahead. So there's some thought that, you know, if Governor Crist were to break ranks with the Republicans and to go ahead and veto this bill, that he would be able to run as an independent, and he'd be able to do so with the support of teachers around the state. And it makes it a whole different ballgame.
Interesting. So, Rick, around the country, you've been following the politics of these kinds of initiatives. Around the country, do these issues around sort of teacher pay for performance tend to get aligned with electoral political battles, or are they just two separate tracks, and in Florida they just happen to be aligned, as they are in D.C., by the way? I want to mention that this Michelle Rhee, the D.C. school chancellor, is a very controversial figure, but the person who appointed her, Mayor Adrian Fanny, is up for election this year, and it's also become kind of part of the election discussion here, too. So, but is that the case around the country?
Yeah, no, they become absolutely very much part of the political conversation. I thought Kathleen did a terrific point flagging how heated it's become in Florida. Just to put a fine point on it, for instance, in the Florida legislature, they recently passed an expansion of the state's voucher legislation, which about half the Democratic delegation supported. The Democratic delegation was unanimously opposed to this teacher bill. So this is actually much more divisive in some ways today than is voucher legislation. Nationally, what you've seen is conservatives and Republicans are very comfortable with the kind of thing that you've seen in Florida, or with the new D.C. teacher contract, which pushes D.C. in some of the same directions. The fascinating development is really in the center left, where we've seen President Obama and Secretary of Education Duncan very aggressively talking about teacher quality, about merit pay, and about the need to remove ineffective teachers in a way that is much more blunt, say, than President Bush ever did in the previous 8 years. And so what we're seeing on the Democratic side of the aisle in many states is really a split between legislators and advocates who line up closer to the teacher unions, who feel that this is putting too much weight on their shoulders, and progressive new Democrat-style reformers who are trying to use teacher pay as a way to really push forward past kind of the conventional model of school delivery.
So talk to me a little bit in the last couple of minutes we have left about the situation in D.C., which is a bit unique because it does speak to what may be an accounting error. But what is Michelle Rhee trying to accomplish here in D.C.? And talk about why this has become such a big deal.
Sure. In Washington, Michelle Rhee, who's been something of a lightning rod nationally, partly because it's D.C. and partly because she's got something of a take-no-prisoner style, proposed a couple of years ago what she called a red-green salary schedule. Real simple. Teachers who are currently employed could elect to keep their same work conditions with a raise, or they could shift to a new salary schedule, the so-called green schedule, where they would give up tenure and most of their raise would be determined by student performance, much like what we've just talked about in Florida. That's not what came through in the completed contract that she just finished negotiating with the Washington Teachers Union. Instead, what we're seeing is something that's less of a radical breakthrough and more of an evolutionary advance over any of the nation's 14,000 existing agreements. What it would do is it would tremendously dilute the importance of seniority by 90%. It would allow teachers to make up to $147,000 a year, and it would tie much of teacher compensation to student performance. This is a tremendously significant contract.
But it's clouded now because now there's a lot of anger over whether the fact that this shortfall was not a shortfall, but it was in fact a surplus, should have been disclosed over the course of the negotiation. So we'll see what will happen. Kathleen, I'm going to just ask you, and we have just a couple of seconds left, has Crist signaled which way he's likely to go on this bill, signing it or vetoing it? Do you have any sense of what he's going to do?
You know what? He really hasn't tipped his hand yet, but he has said that he is the governor of the people, and for the most part, the people have not been in favor of this bill.
So, Rick, I'm going to ask you to speculate because you are a supporter of the bill, and I feel it's okay for you to do as an analyst. Do you think he's going to sign it or not?
In my gut, I think he does. I think if he doesn't, it means he's going to not contest the Republican primary, and he might wind up running as an independent.
Well, to be continued. Rick Hess is Director of Education Policy Studies at the conservative think tank, the American Enterprise Institute. He was kind enough to join us here in our Washington, D.C. studio. If you want to read the piece we're talking about, we'll have a link on our site, his blog, writing about these issues. And Kathleen McGrory is education reporter for the Miami Herald. She was kind enough to join us from her office in Miami. I thank you both.
Thank you.
Much.